think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All of this is strengthening him in the Republican primary. We've run this experiment. He's only gained since he started getting indicted. What you thought might be kryptonite for him has turned out to be battery packs. And this is a big one for him. Presumably, the Supreme Court will deal with it fairly quickly. And I expect that they will leave him on the ballot. And yes, Brianna, I have very, very strong reservations about all of this. I do think it would rip the country apart if he were actually prevented from running, because tens of millions of people want to vote for him. I think if you're going to beat Donald Trump, you're going to probably have to do it at the poll.
And do it properly at the polls, not illegal, not sudden influx of votes, not a lot of mail-in votes, not suddenly votes appearing from nowhere. Beat him at the polls legally. You were listening then to David Axelrod, who had been, of course, a campaign advisor for Barack Obama. And he was in an interview on CBS 60 Minutes over the weekend yesterday. And he's talking about all these cases that are building and more are coming, more seem to be coming over the horizon to try to keep Donald Trump off the ballot. For what? For what? He's not convicted of anything. Not one thing is he convicted of that would bear upon keeping him off the ballot. And Axelrod's nailed it. He said, I think this is, to read his words again, let me get them for you exactly, as he said. They are prosecuting him for activity around January 6th. I'm sorry, that is not Axelrod. That is another source. Let me make sure I get Axelrod here in front of me. He said, I have very, very strong reservations about all of this. All these efforts to keep Trump off the poll, off the ballot, not a good idea. That would disenfranchise many in those states who want to vote for him if the U.S. Supreme Court upholds it. Now, that's going to be the key issue. We already have, of course, Maine and Colorado ruling last month in their Supreme Courts that Trump is disqualified. Well, that's not the final word. And keep in mind that in Colorado, Republicans are already saying, you know what, if that's what's going to happen, we'll just do a caucus. But, of course, that would still keep him off the general ballot if he should win the caucus. Michigan Supreme Court ruling to keep Trump on the ballot. That's another key swing state. And the state of California has said we're not going to try to keep him off the ballot. Thanks for joining us. The first program of 2024, January 2nd. I hope you had a great break in your holiday. We did, and we're all ready and fired up. I'm telling you, over the weekend, long weekend it was, I'm pulling all kinds of information together. And, of course, come today, a lot of it is thrown out the window. Not going to be of any value. That's the way it goes. But we're ready for you either way. Reminding you, we're on the air every day, Monday through Friday for you, from 6 to 8 p.m. And while on the air, we are streaming video for you at Newstalk STL Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. Also, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, and Twitter. And, of course, we're available on Facebook, on all of them, and other sources as well. If you miss anything, you simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, pull up the video and our audio, and when you do, please share it with others that need to hear this message, and I thank you for doing it. So there was David Axelrod saying, basically, again, I have very strong reservations about doing this. He knows where this is leading. I'll give you another input from him in a moment. But there's a breakdown of some numbers that are very startling. And I want to share those with you as we begin by listening to Julia Epstein on some of the various Biden's failings and where Biden is down.
I think what has happened is the attempt of the White House to sort of pander to these different voting groups throughout the first 3 years of the presidency has not worked, and there really needs to be a major course correction. The White House has got to stop listening to the far left and start going much more to the political center. Build an economy that's based on the private sector, not government jobs. Close the borders, or secure the borders, rather. And build a philosophy that is based on equal opportunity and not equal outcomes. And I think until the White House makes that course correction, you're going to see problems with all of these numbers.
So again, he's talking about numbers that are showing. That again is looking at some of the numbers Epstein and Axelrod and all of them are looking at. Let me give you the numbers in particular. On the under age 35 voters, these are some of the latest surveys. Biden, 33% support of those under 35. Trump, 37% ahead of them in the youth vote, apparently. Now, those are close enough to be, say, statistical differences. Hispanic, Biden, 34%. Trump, 39%. That's a 5-point margin. That's outside normal statistical measurements. And then when you get to black voters, Biden in 2020, keep this in mind, Biden in 2020, 87%. Now with 63%. Again, Epstein says all these numbers show Biden is down.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think there's no ability to sugarcoat it. Voters don't like what they are seeing with the Biden economy. They think most have gotten poorer given inflation and interest rates. They don't think Biden is capable to manage the country anymore, and that's showing up in the numbers. I hate to say that I voted for Biden, but I think there's no way of talking point your way around that. But what the Suffolk poll is showing is that there is a major problem with the White House having relied far too much on sort of the progressive left. The progressive left has wanted to pander to Hispanics with open borders. We've seen now a huge hemorrhaging of Hispanic support. Biden won 65-35 and 220. Now in a three-person race, Biden is losing the Hispanic vote. With black voters, you've seen sort of DEI quotas almost every place you turn, and we're seeing a loss of black support in the double digits, 20 and 25% in some polls. With young voters, Biden won huge with young voters. The pandering with the student loan giveaway and sort of the government welfare for young voters through the student loan forgiveness is not working. Biden is also losing to young voters in the three-person race. And you see this across the board with independents. You even see a loss of support with women voters.
And you know what you're saying there is that all these efforts to pander, one, open the border. We get more Mexican Latino votes in, we'll win that. These numbers are showing they're not winning that. And when it comes to the youth vote, we'll forgive all of your student loans. That's not going over well. And when it comes to black voters, they're thinking for themselves. They're not going to be led by the nose from the urban plantation to the voting box this time. They're going to make their own decisions, which they've always been capable of doing, but too many times they fall in line. The same I will add for Jewish voters. Too many Jewish voters of this nation have been following the Democrat creed for long, long, long. And maybe if nothing else out of Hamas and its October 7th massacre will wake some of them up. And especially when you watch Biden still trying to tiptoe around because he's got to control the progressive left. If he loses progressive left, he's lost everything. And right now, everything's on the table. And you have DeSantis and Haley, the two top contenders against Trump at this point. Both of them have said directly, as has Vivek Ramaswamy, I should add, that if by chance he is convicted on any of these charges that they have, no pun intended, trumped up against him, they would vote to pardon him.
I think that it's good politics for them because they're both catering to the Trump base in saying that, and I think that is a large motivation for them. I saw Adam shaking his head, and I understand why, and I know how passionate he is, as I am, about what Trump did to the country. I do think it's a real question as to what it would mean to actually imprison a former president, and that's something that's going to weigh heavily on the next president's mind, and on the mind of sentencing judges if he's ever convicted. But, you know, one thing we should say is that he may never get there if he's successful in delaying these trials until after the election. I think that's his strategy.
I have no doubt it's his strategy. That's why you have John Smith pushing, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Put his head in the noose now. It's not going to happen. Again, that was David Axelrod, former Obama advisor. I want you to hear from Aaron Perrine. Aaron Perrine, of course, with the Trump campaign. Listen to her remarks.
They are now going to be targeting minority communities, the White House doing more outreach to try and shore up and bring those voters back on board. But another point here, when you look at this polling, isn't that Donald Trump is building more within these coalitions? We've seen slight movement, but it's not like these voters are leaving Joe Biden and going to Donald Trump, especially with black voters. They're looking at a third party candidate as a possibility there. That's a spoiler for Democrats if that is the case come the 2024 election. Here, if there is a third party candidate that is pulling their coalition voters away, that is really not a direct vote for Trump, but a passive vote for Trump, because taking those votes away from Biden softens his support and just strengthens the ground that Donald Trump is standing on.
In other words, you just pull the rug out from under him by taking votes away. They may not go to Trump, but they're not going to Biden. It doesn't help him. And Perrine, again, Aaron Perrine points out, these Trump voters, they're locked in.
Democrats have to look at a major enthusiasm problem because of the political pandering they have been doing for so long to try and keep voting blocks intact at the behest of the progressive left. You are seeing that enthusiasm and high enthusiasm for Joe Biden is very low. Mm-hmm. But you see for Donald Trump that when people are asked, you're looking at 44% of the voters, likely voters for Donald Trump, are saying they are at a 10. They will run through a brick wall to show up on election day and make sure their vote is cast. This is we're looking 10 months out. There is a long runway to Election Day, but sirens should start going off in the White House and certainly for the president's reelection to start making moves now if they think they've got any chance in November.
If they have any chance in November, they should be moving quickly on it. But David Axelrod says everything they've come up and they try to throw at Donald Trump is either sticking to them and not harming them, or it's splashing back on them.
All of this is strengthening him in the Republican primary. We've run this experiment. He's only gained since he started getting indicted. What you thought might be kryptonite for him has turned out to be battery packs. And this is a big one for him. Presumably, the Supreme Court will deal with it fairly quickly. And I expect that they will leave him on the ballot. And yes, Brianna, I have very, very strong reservations about all of this. I do think it would rip the country apart if he were actually prevented from running, because tens of millions of people want to vote for him. I think if you're going to beat Donald Trump, you're going to probably have to do it at the poll.
And that is looking more and more unlikely. In other words, in the White House, as you were hearing Aaron Perrine say, alarm should be gone. It should be dive, 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 because we're about to be torpedoed by Donald Trump. All right, let me turn to another subject for you here as we begin the new year. And that is October 7 continues to haunt the nation, the world, and in particular Israel, Gaza, and Hamas, and the Palestinians caught in the middle, plus the hostages. Israel continuing to hammer Hamas, but Iran is now beginning to become more open in its actions, and this is cause for new alarm.
And an Iranian warship has reportedly entered the Red Sea, putting global trade in that region at risk. The move comes just after the U.S. sank three Houthi boats that were attacking merchant ships over the weekend.
We've got significant national security interests in the region just on our own, the United States, and we're going to put the kind of forces we need in the region to protect those interests, and we're going to act in self-defense going forward.
They're going to do what they need to going forward. Now, we have seen this before, an Iranian ship saying, we're there to protect merchant ships. I pointed out to you before, the Red Sea is 1,400 miles, 200 miles wide at the narrowest point, running from the Mediterranean down to the Gulf of Aden and into the Pacific Ocean. It's a major thoroughfare. And the Houthi rebels have been very active along the coast of Africa to hit those ships coming around that tight turn. And the remarks you were hearing then were from Robert Charles, who is one of these assistant secretary of state. He had been under George W. Bush. And he also points out the tactic and response that is needed at this point.
I think this is not unexpected. Iran has been escalating things in this region for a matter of weeks, actually a couple of months. And I think we just have to be, as your spokesman or as the Biden spokesman just said, you have to be on really alert. I think what Iran is doing is they're very opportunistic. I mean, they support all the terrorist groups in the region. They historically in the 80s were a force for no good in the Persian Gulf. They mined the Persian Gulf and they created a havoc where Reagan ended up having to take out half their navy. But right now in the Red Sea, you've got a lot of terror. I mean, you've got basically the Houthi rebels that are entirely supported by Iran, having launched 15 attacks on commercial vessels there. So this doesn't help. Having said that, the real reason I think they did it is that the Gerald Ford carrier strike group is headed back for Norfolk right now. Having said that, the Eisenhower carrier strike group is right there in the Med, and they have 9 fighter squadrons, and I think Iran would be foolhardy to do anything right now. I mean, honestly, they may think, I mean, they're playing right up to the line, but they may think they could do something and get away with it. I think they would lose half their navy again, and it could be worse than that.
Could be worse than that. Now, you want still another issue to worry about? I want you to listen to this report from Fox News about how North Korea and China are getting closer and closer together.
North Korea's Kim Jong-un and China's President Xi Jinping declare 2024 the year of friendship, presumably referring to their own friendship, not ours, Bobby. North Korea's news agency reporting the two parties and two countries will further exchange and promote visits in all fields, including politics, economy, and culture, further deepen the ties of friendship and unity, intensify the cooperation in the joint struggle to safeguard regional and global peace and stability. That is code word for we're testing you, West, specifically the United States. What do you make of that?
Well, I would say there's both news and non-news here. I mean, at the end of the day, these two countries have been locked up in their alliance for decades. They're communist dictatorships, and they see the world the same way, which is essentially against the interests of the average individual. But at the end of the day, I think people have to be aware that North Korea feels isolated right now. They look isolated. China has an economic kind of a problem on their doorstep. It's beginning to mushroom. And, of course, China has aspirations for Taiwan. So anytime you see a statement like that, you need to be at least aware that they're trying to make a statement, even if, in fact, it doesn't telegraph anything specific.
Nothing specific, but we know what the intent is. Coming up, John LeBoutier. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington, and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest, we had booked actually as we closed out the last year. He was my last guest as we wrapped up 2023, and my first guest here for 2024, because he's always engaging, and some of you just have a hard, difficult time with John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman, a Reaganite, not a Trumper, and author of the book Harvard Hates America. John, first of all, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too, Larry. Haven't talked to you forever.
I know, it's
not
been a year.
Since last year.
Well, you know, the check's in the mail, by the way. Did you get it?
No, there's no mail service here.
Oh, what a shame. So, what a shame. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll find somebody.
Like the other, if it's like the other checks you sent, I'm not holding my breath.
I've been giving them to illegals because I thought they were going to your area, but apparently not. Okay. So the reason I wanted John to come back, because he had done an excellent piece in The Messenger about why Trump won't go to jail and other predictions for 2024. Now, before you joined us, we were taking some clips from David Axelrod as he appeared on the CBS Sunday evening news, talking about he thinks that it is bad to continue to pound this because, basically, in his opinion, I'm reading his statement, I have very, very strong reservations about this. What we think we're throwing at him are really battery packs that just repowers him. Your thoughts?
This is about Trump and the court cases?
Yes, Lawrence? Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's no doubt that Trump has gotten stronger among Republican voters as he's gotten charged and repeatedly charged legally in the last year. It definitely helped him. But I don't know that it'll help him in the general election, assuming he gets there. In fact, I don't think it will help them. Right. I think independent voters will not go for Trump.
Let me go through some of your predictions. And again, the very first one you do point out is Trump won't go to trial. That you stand firm on.
Well, that's not really the prediction. That's the tantalizing headline.
No,
that's on the January. That's on the January 4th. March 4th, January 6th trial. That's
right.
Confusing. That's the federal trial in Washington, D.C., currently scheduled to begin on March 4th, where he's charged with causing January 6th. And if that gets well, first of all, my premise is I don't believe that particular trial, that Donald Trump will ever let himself have that trial happen. because it's going to be a 12-person jury of Washington, D.C. residents, which means 10 of them probably are going to be of color. And the judge is the exact kind of woman that Trump hates, a smart, strong, left-wing, black female judge who's been nailing January 6th defendants when they're convicted and giving them tougher sentences than even the prosecution's been asking for. That scares Trump totally. That trial scares him. Washington, D.C. scares him. He's trying everything he can legally. I'm not blaming him for delaying it. And he may get it delayed for a few months. But when that trial finally comes around, I claim he will never do that trial, that he will most likely plea rather than go into trial and put his fate in the hands of that jury and that judge.
You're listening to John LeBoutier, and he wrote in one part of this piece about his prediction for 24 in The Messenger, and I'm going to quote John. Can you envision Donald Trump walking into the D.C. federal courthouse, sitting at the defense table for 6 to 7 hours a day with his mouth shut for 8 or more weeks? And then being convicted.
Yeah. Go ahead. Right. I don't see it. You know, and just to clarify for everybody, criminal trials, the defendant has to be there. Civil trials, like the one that's been going on in New York City, he can choose to come when he wants, which he's done, but more often than not, he's not there. But criminal trials, you have to be there. So he, once this trial honestly is set to begin, that's it for Trump for those 8 weeks. He's going to be in that courthouse all day, every day, as long as the trial goes on. And I don't think he'll ever do it.
All right. Another thing, the other subject would be the economy. And you're saying by far we have the world's strongest economy, despite public polls. And you are correct. I watched shopping centers over the holidays, too. The cars were filling them up. That doesn't mean people have the money, but they apparently have the credit. And the bill does come due. But you're believing that we're just seeing a lag in the 2023 and into 2024, and the economy, Bidenomics works, you say.
Well, the name might have been a problem, but I do think when you know, the polling has shown when people are asked about the economy, they say the economy sucks, but my own personal situation is better than it was a year ago. Now, how does that make any sense? How does the economy be terrible, but your personal situation is better? And I think we've all gotten, a lot of us, into just being negative about a lot of different things. And I do think, leaving all the politics out of it, the economy is improving statistically in every other way. Yeah, there's still some inflation, especially in food, which hurts all of us.
Which is a core, they normally take out of inflation, debt and energy.
Right. Now, energy, in 28 states now, gas is now under $3. So it has cut back down. We've never produced more domestic oil than we are right now in the history of the country.
John, I've got a question. We've never produced more domestic oil than we're doing right now?
Correct.
Where do you get that, sir?
That's a fact. That is a fact. There has never been more oil drilled and produced in the history of this country than in the last 3 months.
Oh, in the last 3 months. I see. That's your qualifier. Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't matter. I said now. I mean, now is now.
Okay. I'm going to step aside and say John is right again.
By the way, you haven't gone down. Go down to the fourth from the bottom.
Oh, I am. I'm not done yet. But to give you some balance, I am reading a piece here from a TV station is what it's coming off of. But I assume they're quoting the Energy Information, and it does read state folks. It reads the U.S. is producing more oil than ever, and that's helping gas prices stay low. However, even amid inflation anxiety, the Biden administration isn't openly celebrating the increased output. We're doing 13.2 million barrels of crude per day, according to the Energy Information. Why would they be celebrating?
Why would they be celebrating?
Why wouldn't they be? It says they're not openly celebrating.
I think they've learned cool it on bragging about this economy until the people have caught up to it and say, yeah, the economy is getting better. Then you take some credit for it. But I think they got ahead of themselves on this whole Bidenomics thing.
Well,
as I wrote in here, you and I, unfortunately, are old enough to remember.
Well, wait a minute. Go ahead.
At least I am. Okay.
All right.
1983 into 84, where we were coming out of a recession. Reagan was president. And we hit 84, just perfect timing as he's running for reelection. And boom, the economy was back after stagflation, inflation, misery index, all that stuff. Suddenly in 84, what was it called? Morning in America. It was all great. And this thing called Reaganomics was given the credit for it. And Reaganomics was the one big thing I got to vote for in Congress. It was the across the board 30% tax rate cut for everybody in America over a 3-year period. That was Reagan's biggest single domestic accomplishment. And it juiced the economy for 25 years, that tax cut.
And we filled and we put more into our oil reserve. I remember that time, John, because I'm in Texas, and there were bumper stickers around, no, the gas is gone, the land is not good, you know, God, please give us another chance. Literally, bumper stickers reading that.
Yeah. Well, and people really wondered if the best days of America were gone and over, and then they worried that no one person could be president because poor Jimmy Carter appeared to be in way over his head, and what are we going to do? And along comes Reagan, and after a few years, no one said, no one could be president and get the job done anymore. Reagan got the job done.
Now,
and so I think the Biden campaign has wished themselves into being the second coming of Ronald Reagan, older, wiser president, economy getting better. We're going to take credit. We're going to label it Bidenomics, like Reaganomics. And I think it hasn't worked for them. They pushed it too soon.
Yeah, that I will agree with. I've got a lot of stuff to go through here. And I will tell the audience, we are going to extend John into the next segment because there's so much. And I want to hold one particular item off to tease before we go into it. But looking back over, before we leave the Trump and his your predictions on him, you saying he will never even walk into trial, either become sick or unable to stand trial or make a plea deal. You don't mention in here that even he goes through and he's convicted, a pardon by anyone. Even if Biden is...
Well, I'm predicting 2024 stuff. And he, you know, if he's convicted this year in any of these four trials, no one's going to pardon him this year.
No, they can't this year. Future. You're right. Right.
Yeah, and I don't think he can pardon himself. I don't think that's going to work.
All right,
if he gets to be president again. So, you know, but he, if it's a federal case, apparently he can order the Justice Department to drop the case.
All right, we're going to get into some of your predictions regarding Roe v. Wade and related issues. Also, Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, news is breaking and has been breaking throughout the day on her. And then the other issue I want to get into with you, and that is as to who you think is going to end up, or if anyone's going to end up actually impeaching Joe Biden. We're going to continue with John LeBoutier, former congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America. You don't want to go anywhere. More to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale, based on your recommendation." I thanked her then, I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
Because she's really losing control.
And then China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, my guest, John LeBoutier, former Reaganite, never Trumper, but also the author of the book, Harvard Hates America, and it looks like Harvard has decided, Claudine Gay, you're out of here. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, she quit about an hour ago, and I just got, during this break, I checked my email. I got two emails, one from her, not to me, but to everybody in the Harvard community.
What'd you say?
And the board of Harvard sent one out. So let's read hers. It's from President Claudine Gay on harvard.edu. Dear members of the Harvard community, it is with a heavy heart but a deep love for Harvard that I write to share that I will be stepping down as president.
I need some Kleenex. Okay. Now you can go.
This is not a decision I came to easily. Indeed, it has been difficult beyond words. Oh, I'm so sad. Anyway, it's that kind of thing. And you know,
but it's only right. It's only right, isn't it?
I wrote you because you were on the air. I wrote, well, at least one of my predictions has come true.
Well, I saw that, but the only thing I'd say is she's will resign, but didn't say she had. But no, now it's official. Now it's official.
Right, and my prediction is the fourth one from the bottom of my column. Mm-hmm. And just to read it, it's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. It says, beyond presidential politics, Harvard will remove its controversy engendering president Claudine Gay, maybe even before this column is published, for repeated acts of plagiarism and for presiding over the trashing of the university's reputation. And that is all true. I mean, she...
What really brought it down? The plagiarism or the trashing or just both?
I think the plagiarism. Yeah. I think if you didn't have 60 different instances of plagiarism, I think she survived at least for a while. Because MIT didn't get rid of their president, and she had an equally horrendous answer at that congressional hearing. So the real winner here is Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from New York, who asked each of these college presidents the question. And Elise is a Harvard graduate and a Republican, and good for her. And she really went after this thing, which is to her credit. But it's just the tip of the iceberg, Larry. And we talked about it last Friday. Education in this country is a mess. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess. And we really, as a country, need to fix it quickly.
And it's not just education. It's indoctrination. Ever since the woke crowd suffered, they have shoved stuff down to our children's throats. And until that's the only silver lining inside COVID, that when we went to the Zoom learning, some of the parents began to realize, what the hell's going on in this classroom?
That's right. Well, that's a good point. The thing is, we got to get back to what education is supposed to do. And it's to teach young people the basic skills and not what to think, but how to think and how to learn and how to make an argument and how to be rewarded for disagreeing with the teacher, not punished for it.
Do you think it's going to replicate? You know, I should say, do you think it's going to echo among other universities that they realize, yeah, we need to do a turnabout?
Yep, I do. I certainly do. I mean, you can look at admissions. Early admission in December was down hugely in the Ivy League. This is the applicants for early admission.
Poison
were
Ivy
way League. Down, way down. The Poison Ivy League. Yeah, a lot of parents said, you know what? I don't want my son or daughter going to these rotten places. I'd rather have the kid go to Vanderbilt or SMU or what University of Missouri, whatever. They're great schools out there. You don't have to be in the Ivy League to have a great life.
And one or more law schools basically turned away from Harvard and said, we don't even want your applicants.
Well, there you go. I mean, I think this is a turning point, but let's see. Let's hope. I think money talks at these schools. And if the big rich guys and gals who give money, if they say to these schools, I'm not paying for this nonsense anymore, this woke crap, that will change it quicker than anything else.
All right. The other case that what I mentioned going into the break is Roe v. Wade had a bigger impact on the 2022 general election than we thought. Certainly it was no tsunami. But how do you think it's going to play this time with Mephistrone?
Right. That's the abortion pill that's used in 50% of abortions in this country. And the Supreme Court has a case. They've heard it. They're going to rule on it by the end of this term, which is June 30. And we don't know what the ruling is, of course, but I just put in here that if they in any way limit access to that pill, which today women can have it prescribed and mailed to them. Right. They don't even have to go to a hospital or a doctor or anybody. It can be mailed to them. But it is a prescription.
I was going to say, you say it is prescribed, but they don't need a script from a doctor to get it?
Well, no, they get the script, but then it gets mailed to them. Okay. And under whatever this case is, they tried to stop that, and you have to go in and have it administered in a office and all. It made it more difficult for these ladies to take the pill. Anyway, the Supreme Court screwed this thing up once with Dobbs politically. I'm not getting into the morality of it, but politically, as you just mentioned, that was the single thing that blunted a Republican wave in 2022 and this past November in a few states that had elections. And I think it'll happen even more this 2024 now if the Supreme Court changes anything having to do with access to this abortion
vote. Well, change is a big thing, and that's one part of the predictions that John Lebutier put together in his piece that he wrote for The Messenger. You said, as for the Senate, you talk about John Tester, Democrat of Montana, Scott of Florida, Cruz of Texas, Casey of Pennsylvania, Brown of Ohio. You're saying all of them, that includes Cruz, will be swept out of office.
Oh, no. I didn't say that.
What you
I
didn't said say that?
One,
oh, you said at least one of them.
One. Yeah, one of them.
I'm just trying to trap you.
what usually happens in these big elections is there's one senator every 2 and 4 years who you don't see it coming, and then boom, they get defeated. And those are big names on both sides, and one of them is going to lose. But I don't know which one is going to.
You don't want to pick one or the other. You don't put money on down.
I don't know. No, I don't. I don't know. I just know they're all under challenge, and they're all going to have tough races, which they expect. And sometimes it just happens. They can't help it.
If it's still going to be 50-50 at that point, we know who has the deciding vote. Now, tell me this.
By the way, the race that we should mention is Arizona, because
right.
we have a Democratic senator who's now, Kyrsten Sinema, who's now not a Democrat. She's an independent, caucuses with the Democrats. She's running, we think she's running for re-election. She hasn't announced, but there is Congressman Gallego is running as a Democrat. And there are various people, including Carrie Lake, running for the Republicans. So it could be a three-way race, and who knows in Arizona who would win that race. The state of Barry Goldwater is a weird place now politically.
All right, one final thing from you. You add in here, finally, a prediction of a black swan event.
Right. A huge political and moral scandal will shock the U.S., encompassing both political parties, and it will further taint the reputation of the intelligence community and especially the political class.
Would that be the Epstein names?
Well, you're the third person yesterday and today. No, that's pretty good. But I'm not saying what it is. I know what it is, and we will discuss it when it happens.
Wait a minute. You can't come on here and say you know what the black swan is, and you're not going to tell me.
No, sure I can.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
And by the way, if the black swan event, if my black swan event happens, I'll let you know.
Are you hedging your bets? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
You're betting both sides.
I don't know that the thing I'm thinking about will happen. I hope it will, but I'm not sure. If it does, those results about both political parties and the intelligence community. But you're the third gentleman in 2 days who brought that up, that Epstein. I had a guy yesterday in Florida call me up, Larry, who said, I think it's Epstein, and I think what's going to come out is that Epstein was working all along for Israel, was an agent of the Mossad, and, well,
I'm not, nothing's far-fetched nowadays, except for this one. Answer me this, yes or no, are you going to run for president?
I am not running
for president. Okay, well, you solved that. God, that everybody saw, whew, they're breathing a sigh of relief here, John.
Well, why do you even ask that? That's not in the column.
I know. I didn't say I had to be stuck to your column. Hey, John, as always, engaging conversation. I thank you, and we'll look forward to the Black Swan event and have you back again.
Great, Larry. Happy New Year to you and everybody.
Happy New Year, John.
I'll talk to you hopefully soon.
Yes, sir.
Again.
Okay. Thank you, John. John LeBoutier, always an engaging guest. Now, coming up, we mentioned what happened with the Harvard professor. Saturday Night Live had some questions posed, making a skit of it, but they were really thought it was funny to not attack Harvard professor, but the congresswoman, Stefanik.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now I'll turn it over to mega superstar Elise Stefanik from New York, who's been pacing the hallways listening to Lose Yourself by Eminem. Miss Stefanik.
Thank you, Chairwoman. Now I'm going to start screaming questions at these women like I'm Billy Eichner. Anti-Semitism, yay or nay?
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, Arnaud is calling for the genocide of Jews against the code of conduct for Harvard.
Well, it depends on the context.
What? That can't be your answer, you pen lady. Same question, yes or no?
Well, we are serious about stopping all forms of hatred, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia.
The second one, MIT lady, chance to steal. And keep in mind, if you don't say yes, you're going to make me look good, which is really, really hard to do. So I'll ask you straight up. Do you think genocide is bad?
Could I submit an answer in writing at a later date?
Am I winning this hearing? Somebody pitch me.
You see, there, all the whole bit about that Saturday Night Live skit, which we haven't had time to pay attention to, was to mock Stefanik for asking good questions. They want to make the show screaming. She wasn't really screaming. She did get upset and raise her voice, said, I said yes or no. Don't give me this runaround. But the play for Saturday Night Live, when it used to be really funny, and they would attack both sides equally, but here it was simply to use as a bludgeon against Congresswoman Stefanik and defend Claudine Gay, who has now resigned. But let's go back to that one event from Saturday Night Live.
I am here today because hate speech has no place on college campuses. Hate speech belongs in Congress, on Elon Musk's Twitter, in private dinners with my donors, and in public speeches by my work husband, Donald Trump. So, Dr. Gay, simple question. Is it acceptable for students to use anti-Semitic language?
On this subject, I'd like to speak not from the heart, but from the thesaurus. That type of hateful speech is personally abhorrent to me.
And could you rephrase that in an even more academic way?
Sure. That variety of odious oration is vis-a-vis me repugnant.
Now, what measures are you taking to protect Jewish students at Harvard?
We're taking precautions to protect all students, Jewish students, Muslim students.
Again, just the first one. This is personal for me. While I am not Jewish, I'm Roman Catholic. Some of my closest friends are also Roman Catholic.
And of course, they don't mind mocking the Roman Catholics. And they don't mind mocking Jews, and they certainly don't mind mocking a U.S. congresswoman who's raising some serious questions. Stefanik, again, in the skit from Saturday Night Live, then turned her attention to another professor.
So, you Penn lady, would you say that you are anti-Semitic?
I'm sorry, can you tell me how many antis that was?
I will not.
You're asking us questions that seem very unfair.
Oh, thank you.
The chair recognizes Mr. Takano from California.
Thank you, Chairwoman. So, to clear things up, what does violate the code of conduct at your schools? And what about if someone on campus yelled, I poisoned the water supply?
If they poisoned it with diversity, that could be wonderful.
Diverse water. It sounds delicious.
Okay, and what if they yelled, I've got a knife?
Well, maybe they have a lisp, and they're saying, I have a knife bouquet of flowers for you.
As long as the flowers are diverse, I accept.
Okay, and what if they yelled, fire in a crowded theater?
I'd be excited the theater was crowded because I support the arts.
I support the arts. That was Saturday Night Live trying to be relevant and funny again, and it's really not. But, of course, the statement today from Harvard President Claudine Gay, as you heard the letter read by John LeBoutier previously, who went there, and she's regretfully resigning her position. But, you know, she's resigning her presidency. She's stepping down as president, but she will continue to serve on the Harvard faculty, despite all the plagiarism. There's no justice there. Border issues next. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.